Just about didn't make it. Didn't get hard to get 2 hours sleep last night, and I was doing so good this afternoon. And I had two emissaries, messengers, angels, two ladies came. And I don't believe in female angels. You can tell it wasn't too good. And so I don't know if I can get my cobwebs out or not. I can get my candy out to keep the throat from getting too raw. I'm going to try to read my notes, and hopefully I can wake up enough to express what's in between the lines, and if I can't, we're in for a bad time. If we can, we're in for a better time, because we'll be able to understand more fully than we have understood previously. Now, this message goes with the other two, and it's the revelation of Jesus Christ, and I certainly hope we can sort of put it together. So let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we just come to you again knowing that there's so much, Lord, in your word that must be put together, be understood. You said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that might not be ashamed, and rightly dividing the word of truth. And we know that if there is not a correct division, there cannot be approbation. There cannot possibly be an understanding, and we need to understand. So we pray, Lord, that you will help us to understand this concerning the revelation of Jesus, which is in your word here and it's set before us and been proven at the end time now. Especially do we need your help, and I particularly, Lord, to be able to have clarity. So I pray that all of our minds should be clear and everything out of the way so you can help us. And we just lean upon you for this help, because without it, it's just simply, I might as well go home rather than just muddy up the water. So grant, Lord, that this service shall not be in vain. We'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, what I wish to do at this time, first of all, is to carefully examine what revelation, that's the word revelation concerning Jesus, actually means, which would go into the mechanics of it. Because it's not simply a definition from a dictionary. It's to actually see it from the scripture so we know the mechanics of it, how it works. And so we'll know what to look for. And of course, we have to find that in the word also, not a dictionary. I mean the word of God, not a dictionary. Then secondly, we wish to show that this revelation, though basic to the rapture, does not occur in the actual rapture itself, but prior to it, and is necessary to bring the rapture about. Now, you are absolutely aware of that fact, which is fact number two, and you will no doubt be aware or somewhat aware of the examination of the revelation, the word revelation, how it works. And so what we're going to be doing with the two thoughts is to bring out the doctrine of the pre-rapture revelation of Jesus Christ that's necessary to make this rapture that we're looking for to take place. And we'll start with the word revelation to begin to understand it by looking at a very obscure passage of Scripture, and it's obscure because of a mistranslation. And it's over here in Luke chapter 2 and 32. And this is the prophecy of Simeon, and we'll read it in context with 30 and 31. And it says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Now, here is what Simeon is saying as he prophesied, when he says, "From mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." Now, in verse 30, he says here, "Mine eyes have seen thy salvation." He says, I have seen God's salvation, actually God's Savior, Jesus Christ, verse 40-32, "a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy," which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. So he says, I have seen God's salvation, God's Savior, Jesus, Jehovah's Savior, which God has ordained. The word prepared means ordained to be so before eyewitnesses, before all the people would be ridiculous. because everybody wasn't there. It's eyewitnessed. It was eyewitnessed. Then a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. A light for a revelation. And that's what we're dealing with. It is not a light to lighten. It is a light for a revelation to the Gentiles. And then there's another portion of it, the glory of thy people Israel. Now, we also must be careful to know exactly what the word light is, so we will not reject it, because Jesus is not only the ordained Savior, but also ordained to be the light necessary for the Gentiles to get the revelation of God. Now, you will see in there are two things hinging upon him, that he is to be revealed, and he is the light which brings the revelation. So, what does the word light mean? And the meaning here in the Greek is just what it is in English. It is simply a light as seen by the eye. And that is, it is that which strikes the eye, so the eye can see or receive and understand and interpret what is present before it. As light illuminates something, Jesus himself must illuminate something. And so that gives us a clearer picture. So, when Simeon saw Jesus, he said, I for myself have seen God's publicly proven and manifested ordained Savior, the one who brings into view and openly shows himself as does a light, or openly shows as does a light himself to the Gentiles, he being their Savior. Now, that's what it boils down to. So I'll read it again. Simeon said, I for myself have seen God's publicly or provenly manifested ordained Savior, the one who brings into view and openly shows as does a light himself to the Gentiles, he being their Savior. Now, that's actually what lies in those three scriptures. And it's an excellent expanded translation. And going a little further, putting it into a nutshell or condensing it, it is that God ordained that Jesus must take the responsibility of revealing himself as Savior to the Gentiles by proving it publicly. Now, what I don't want you to miss here is something everybody misses, that God's obligated in this verse for a public display of what actually obtains in the mind of God concerning salvation. Because this is actually foreign to the thinking of the people who consistently bandy and drive into the ground the word faith. See? Now, that's what we saw in Luke 2, 32. Now, the word we are using here is apocalypsis, the very word you get back in Revelation, or Revelation, a drawing back the curtain so that we can see. In this case, now listen, it is Jesus' Savior coming into view publicly and openly to the Gentiles, and he is doing his own revealing of himself, making himself known to them. So we have a statement here that makes us to realize it is God, and all of God, and all by God himself, that he is doing this thing. Now, this throws it into a into a very constricted light, very close confinement. So you can't move outside of it. So therefore, this is why Brother Brown said, where does theology go? There's no theologians. Where does school go? There's no school. Where does ordination go? No. It is God revealing himself. Notice, we are Gentiles. So we fall in this category. Now, with this much in our minds, we're going to look at another thought about the Savior relative to the same period of his life, which illuminates us further, and that's in Luke 1:76-79, and this is a part of the prophecy of Zechariah's father, John the Baptist, where he's speaking of the Lord, and verse 76. Now, and thou child shalt be called the prophet of the highest. Now, he said, John, you're going to be a prophet to the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord, or the highest, to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Now, John does not do this. It is that John points out him who is going to do it through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now, you'll notice in verse 78, through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. Now, Zechariah calls the Lord the day spring, which is taken from Isaiah 11 and 1. So we'll get back to Isaiah 11 and 1. And we read, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So he says here, according to what we have read, the branch has visited us to give light, which actually means to appear and become visible. It's the very same thing. The branch has appeared to become visible. In other words, to bring into manifestation. And that's what he's done. God has visited us, he says, in order to appear amongst us and become visible to us. God has appeared amongst us in order to become visible amongst us. Now, you see what we're driving at, as you begin to pick up in your minds, we are looking for the pre-rapture appearing. And these verses confirm what is in the mind of God, the literal appearing of himself and he himself revealing himself. That's what Brother Branham would say, the Elijah of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ himself, not man but God, but it comes by the spirit of a prophecy, and so on. Now, I'm going to check my notes out here. So we're going to really go a little further. Now, maybe we can sort of go over this, the two, to get a clearer picture. In Luke 2:32, Jesus, Jehovah Savior, is the light to the Gentiles, not to Israel. He is their future glory. They deny God's glory as they sit in the face of Jesus Christ and crucify him. They do not receive the revelation. It is the Gentiles who receive the revelation. This is the scripture for it. And this is why people are so confused and attempting to sell the Jews salvation when they can't do it. The revelation is missing. Even when they see the wounds in heaven, well, they say, I hope that it's not what I'm thinking. Yeah, that's what you're thinking. There's no revelation there. It's missing. See? The Gentile church receives revelation. That's why Brother Branham categorically said, don't look for these great big things. That belongs unto the two witnesses in the tribulation. Well, you simply can't get people to understand anything. I'll take that back. You can't get anybody but the bride to understand anything. And here it is simplistically in the scripture. So we learn that a tremendous revelation is to be given only to the Gentiles. The truly great revelation of God is to the Gentiles. It is not to Israel. God deals with them later. That's why those two witnesses come with such manifested wonders, as it was in the days of Moses. See, it's not that we don't get great power and wonder amongst us, but what we get is God exposing himself by revelation. To them they just see and say, that's got to be God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians for a second, the third chapter. And in verse 17, now the Spirit of the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, not with veils on it. Listen to the Gentiles. Israel had a veil. They couldn't see even when it was in front of them. And the veil was upon the mind. And until the veil could be taken off of the mind, there's no light could get down within them. So that's why there's only such a tiny number of Jews in the election. It had to be a transfer. Christ had to come through Israel. But as soon as he'd come through Israel, and after the resurrection, the way was made known that it was to the Gentiles. See? Now, I know a lot of people want to fuss about God and blame God. But here's why Brother Branham said, is the case of Joseph, And he said, you meant it for evil, God meant it for good, to save this, to save the people, so at the end time they will know Israel was blinded in order to have a Gentile bride, then how can God excoriate and condemn Israel? See, to understand this opens a way to much understanding of Scripture. White throne judgment, mercy, and everything else, see, and what God's doing here. So, now, Israel is blinded. Now, I'm reading here. But we all as open faces, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, that doesn't happen with Israel. That's to the Gentiles. Because the appeal has been to the mind, which is like a mechanical faith that is wrought upon by the Holy Ghost to turn it into reality. See, which is per se revelation. So Israel's blinded. She does not understand until the end time when she is a nation. See, and she sees His glory coming in clouds of majesty and glory. See, which has been led up to by the fantastic demonstration of God through prophets. Sun blackened, fire come down, just everything is just at their command. Earth rocking, rolling, and reeling. I don't know anything about these Battlestar Galactica, but if anything like I think it is, I think they're just trying to get a preview of what the couple of prophets are going to get into. I know for sure, because I don't know what read it's all about. So, with this understanding, we want to look at this scripture again to get the full impact of the revelation. So here it is. Jesus, Jehovah Savior, which is God, or Elohim, under a compound name, and now in a human form, God has ordained that He Himself will publicly reveal Himself, openly show and prove Himself, and when He does, He is to be twice rejected by Israel, before and after the resurrection, and received by the Gentiles. Now we go back to Luke 2:34-35. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel. Fall and rising again. Fall and rising again. That's absolutely true. No revelation, they killed him. They wouldn't have killed him if they had a revelation. Do you think Cain would have killed his brother if he had a revelation? There was no revelation. So now it's for the rising again. That's where the glory comes in. And for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, Lord, shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Not of Israel, the Gentile. See? It is going to be by revelation. And Simeon says this as he looks at the creature form or mask that veils God, even Jesus. He looks at Jesus and sees God visible in the midst of the congregation. That's exactly what he did. He looked. And he saw God presenting Himself visibly, manifesting Himself, proving Himself, so the eye could absolutely apprehend it. Now we see most clearly that Jesus is the visible manifestation of God. That's what I've been talking about. There's your scripture. God appearing. I witnessed as Jesus, Jehovah Savior, proven and manifested. Now, we can just maybe weave back and forth in some scripture here, which I hope is not a waste of time, because sometimes it's kind of hard to catch, but I'll see if I can take these verses one at a time here. First John, that's the book of John, rather, the first chapter, verses 1-3, and I'll read them in a very certain way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now that's an absolute declaration of the sovereignty and the creator ability of Almighty God. That's God, spoken of. He's spoken of here, and therefore, though unseen, we have a word concept of Him. And in there we know exactly what His powers are. Now let's look at verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as only begotten the Father, full of grace and truth. And it says right here that we beheld the glory of the Word. And that Word was made manifest, or God was shown, in the form of Jesus Christ. And there He was, right there, to prove Himself having been manifested. Now we drop back to verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now verse 10. See, watch, in Him was life, and the life was the light of them. Watch it, verse 10 says, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. No revelation.
Amen.
It was missing. But the same one who came to his own repudiated will come back and not be repudiated because he's their glory. Okay? You know what the glory is? It's a headship. He takes them over. Now, we go back to 1 and 9. That was the true light which light of every man that cometh into the world. And that's true. That's Matthew 16. Who art thou? Well, some say you're Jonas, you're Jeremiah, some say you're John Baptist. But who do you say? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it. There's nothing you of yourself or any man could say or any indication the natural that gave you that. It was a revelation. So therefore, every single Jew that got saved had to have a revelation, but it wasn't to the nation.
Amen.
It was a one by one.
Amen.
But the nation will come.
Amen.
You see, under as one, when the glory of God is manifested. Now, verse 5 to 8, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Here was the one set for a revelation. They said, you call that God hogwash. What are you trying to kid? Why, Messiah lives forever. Ain't nothing in Scripture about him dying upon Calvary. That's the woes and misery of Israel. They never saw nothing for nothing. The revelation was missing. Now, the light shines in darkness. The darkness couldn't comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. So God had to have somebody stand in for him to interpret it.
Amen.
See? To help them so they could get it. Now John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now John said, look, this is the one. And as soon as John said this was the one he pointed, he had to take over. See? Through his revelatory power, after to show himself. Now, now we're going to read 11 to 13. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now right in here you can see that the revelation is given by the Holy Spirit, and it's as people receive him that the revelation opens so they can really see who Almighty God truly is. Now, we'll prove to that to you. Verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him, which means to exegete or bring into plain view by the use of words. To absolutely describe. So therefore, we have before us the understanding that God has so ordained that in the process of salvation to the Gentiles, he himself will reveal himself. That's been going down through the ages, but of course there's a greater impact in the first age and the last age. Now notice verses 22 to 23. Then they said to him, who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What do you say of yourself? And he said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. That said the prophet Isaiah. Okay, why did John say that? We got to go back to Isaiah 40. Just take a little peek at Isaiah 40. Because that refers to something in there. Whatever it is. Now, and the voice that cried the wilderness, the voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And you talk about a desert, that's the condition of the people. And every mountain shall be exalted, and every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall, and hill be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. That's exactly what Paul said. This thing was not done in a corner.
Amen.
If you want to search the history books and all, you will find that there was a man named Jesus. There's no doubt of it.
Hallelujah.
They prove it that this thing was eyewitness. This is reality.
Amen.
Now these verses 3 to 5 must be fulfilled. As you read, the voice of him crying, prepare the way of the Lord. Every valley brought down, every mountain made high, crooked places plain, straight and rough places plain. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed. All flesh will see it. And that is the flesh present. Not the whole world. It's impossible. But the ones that were there. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken that this is to be so, and it certainly was so. And they are fulfilled in John 1, the first chapter, 26 to 34. And John answered, saying, I am baptizing with water, and there stands one among you that you don't know. And he it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan where John was baptizing. And the next day John sees Jesus coming to him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh the man which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Eyewitness, done before the people. Absolute proven, up there right, naked, straight, plain fact. Well, you say they didn't get it. That's right, they didn't get it. It wasn't meant for them to get it. If they'd have got it, they'd have been saved. The Scripture distinctly said the prince of this world had known what the Scripture was saying, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The revelation was missing. The same as in Cain, he wouldn't have killed Abel. You see? That's why brothers are very special people. You don't unchristianize people and go into segments and sects. S-E-C-T-S things. There's going to be a lot of thoughts out of this. Just let your mind go and take in a lot of different facets. And John Berwick is saying, I saw the Spirit descending from him like a dove and abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize the water, the same sent upon him, thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he that baptized with the Holy Ghost, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Now that's exactly what took place. That's when the voice was crying up there in the spiritual wilderness of the hour, when there was like the deep valleys, and you might say, well, you're hidden down in there, or you exalt yourself way up here, and everything is out of order, and no one knew what the Scripture was really saying. There was a word from God that said right back in Isaiah, look, there's coming a day when I am going to openly manifest myself and prove myself, show myself, and I am the one who is going to bring that light. Then he said, there's a fellow going to come before me, and he's going to point me up from that moment on. You watch my ministry take over. See, now we're getting to understand then a few things here. With this much in mind, then we see Isaiah 40 and 5 again. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, and the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. All right? That's combined just thinking what was to be. The glory of the Lord be revealed. Christ was to be the glory of Israel. And the revealed right there, there's no doubt about it, in that earthly ministry when he was in the flesh. And we go back again to Luke 1:78-79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, the branches appeared among us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, shadow death, to guide our feet in the way of peace, fulfilling what God wanted done. And Luke 2:30-32, mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. So here we find the complete fulfillment of what God intended to do to Israel and to the Gentiles, and it was God himself doing it in God's own way, and remember, he used a prophet. That's the only interjection. That's all. Now, there are some other scriptures that become very real to us at this particular point. Since it is that God himself is openly showing himself in order to be a savior through revelation to the Gentiles and actually taking over Israel and getting them out of their mess. Because that's what he does. He saves them at the Battle of Armageddon. Now, this one who brings himself into view. That's why they said in John 10:30, I am my Father are one. It couldn't be otherwise. Because if this is what it's all about, to bring light, whereby God himself is the light. His brother Matt said, God's his own interpreter. He's his own revealer. He's his own manifester. See, this is where he got it. Right here in the Greek. And he didn't even know a word of Greek. Unless he looked in Greek books the same as I did, and he didn't bother doing that. Didn't have to. Now, let's also go to John 14:7-11. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know my Father and have seen my Father. Philip said, show us the Father. It'll suffice. And Jesus said, have I been so long time with you, Philip, and you haven't known me? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Amen. Yet God cannot be seen by any man. It's impossible. No man can see God if he's a spirit. That's why Brother Branham correctly said that nobody saw the pillar of fire outside of himself being a prophet. It was a reflection they saw. How do you say then, show us the Father? In other words, how can you ask for something you've already got? How deep is your ignorance? When here it is visibly demonstrated according to the Word, which is in the set pattern of how God does things, and you want something else, he says, show us a sign. He says, you wicked adulterous generation. Why adulterous? They go off fiddling by themselves with their creeds and their dogmas, their Talmuds, their rabbinical orders, their synagogues, and the whole bit. You see, there's 70 elders and all that miserable misinformation that was carried. See? Now, believest thou that not that I am in the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, he doeth the works. Believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. He said, if you've got to have something that's so definitive to pin it down that you cannot take a revelation that doesn't strike your heart, then he said, at least start somewhere. And when you see what only God can do, accept only what God can do. Jesus had to say the same thing over in John 15:24, if I had not done the works, then not other man did, they had not sinned, but now they both hated, seen and both hated me and my Father. Now let's go to Hebrews, the third chapter. I'm sorry, the first chapter. God who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. Now here we're talking about God Almighty, who is the one that made all the worlds, became the Son of Man in human flesh. And in there he was speaking and revealing himself to the people, but they couldn't catch the revelation. They could read Isaiah 53 all they wanted, and there was nothing there. And it said, who is the brightness of his glory? Now that's hitting the Jew again, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down the right hand of majesty on high, Israel never did get a revelation, and they won't get a revelation. He's going to have to come and take over. And you know the Gentiles are all cooped up here. They're looking for him to come and take over when it's a revelation. That they're supposed to have. See? And of course, in the way that God wants it. Let's look at Philippians, the second chapter. And I'm going awful fast, but I hope you're getting something out of this. 5-8. Let this mind be all in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not a prize to be grasped and retained. There's no such thing as being robbed equal with God. God is God. It's just that God didn't hang on to what, to the sphere in which God was inhabiting himself at that time. And what does he do? Made himself of no reputation, but took upon himself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being in the likeness of men, he was no less God.
Amen.
He merely circumscribed himself for the occasion.
Amen. That's right.
If he had gone out full God, Israel would have said, hallelujah, he's taken over, glory to God. And then no more revelation or nothing.
Amen.
There wouldn't have been any salvation either. Wouldn't have been eternal life. There wouldn't be a millennium. There wouldn't be a future kingdom. Why? Because there's got to be blood. See? Always looking for a sign. But he said, no sign's going to be given you save the sign of the prophet Jonah's death and the resurrection. They said, ah, forget it. You can't deal with people like that. You can't deal with anybody unless you've got a revelation. Now, and being found in fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even the death of the cross. See, Paul himself said there's a revelation lying in there. And there was, and there is. Now, from this basic insight of what revelation actually is, we can now proceed to some other thoughts and go to Revelation 1:1-12, because we're seeing what revelation is. Revelation is God revealing himself, coming into view openly, and demonstrating. See? That is as necessary. But it's a revelation. That's where you can preach the gospel to people out there among the heathen, the worst heathen under high heaven, and maybe not even one miracle done, one manifestation. And you know that's what why that there's so much manifestation at the end time. It's so it's going to pass on to Israel where the manifestation falls. See? How many of our missionaries have gone overseas, starting with William Carey, from England going to India, the father of modern missions, and other men I know before him, and those men simply preached Christ, and those people just laid down everything and came to God. Revelation, brother, sister. And that revelation was based upon that which was openly proven before the eyes of people, something that God did when God showed himself. So therefore, what God showed himself, that is in effect. Now, Revelation 1, 1-12. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things that shall shortly come to pass, which he set and signified it by his messenger, his angel servant John, who bear record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ of all the things he saw. Blessed is he that reads, they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that's written therein for the times at hand. Now he said, blessed is everybody who takes my word for what I saw. In other words, by a description, get a revelation of what he was intimately joined to through physical processes. Felt, saw, heard, so on. See, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come from the seven spirits which are before his throne. That's the same Holy Ghost doing the work in seven church ages. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to be him glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he comes with a cloud, and every eye shall see him, and they all shall pierce him, and all kings of the earth shall bewail, because of him, even so, Omega. Even so, amen. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Now you notice that until the time of his literal coming, which is to the Jews, his physical appearance of Revelation 19, he is only witnessed about through the words that the Holy Spirit uses to bring people to Christ. It's a Holy Spirit message.
Amen.
Until that very hour, Jesus comes presenting himself. I, John, also your brother and companion in tribulation, and king of patience of Jesus Christ in the Isle of Patmos, for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was the Spirit and the Lord then heard behind me a great voice of trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what you see right in the book, send the seven churches which are in Asia, and he names them. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now, the entire book here is written to the seven Gentile churches of the seven entire ages, so therefore what is in the Pauline epistles? And what portion written here in Revelation concerning those churches is to the Gentiles. And it is a revelation given to them, and it's carried to them through the messengers that God sent, those seven church age messengers. Now, that entire book was written for the seven entire Gentile ages. Now we go from 20 onward. And being turned, I saw seven golden casting, amidst the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man. Clothed the garment around, down his foot, and girt about the paps golden girdle. Head of his hair light, white like wool, white as snow, eyes the flame of fire, feet like fine grass, burned the furnace, voice the sound of many waters. And his right hand seven stars, like his mouth with a sharp two-edged sword, his countenance of the sun shines in his strength. When I saw him, I fell his feet as dead, and laid his right hand upon me, saying, fear not, I am first and last. He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. Write the things that thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand, the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars are the seven messengers of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches, which indeed they are. Now, for a correlation, for what, this is a correlation of what those first few verses were, of how he was to give this message to the church so that they would receive the revelation and be saved. And here we have in this very scripture here, actually another presentation of the book of Luke, the second chapter and in verse 32, and it says, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. It's the very same thing. This light in here for seven ages is the light of God himself shedding on himself by the revealed word.
Amen.
See? Which never came to Israel. They saw him, beheld him, handled him. And it didn't work because he was for the glory. The revelation was missing. So the revelation goes to Israel to get to reach the elected. And of course the sheep will hear the voice. There's no doubt about it. And also, it's another of John 1 and 34. Then I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And of course this brings out also John 1 and 18. That no man hath seen the Father, the only begotten hath declared him. In other words, as we saw back there, the very basis of revelation that God was to bring himself into view, that he himself was doing it. That's exactly why it takes the Holy Spirit in the ministry. That's exactly why the Holy Spirit's got to be in the church. And that's why no preacher or any witness can witness to anybody or preach this word without the Holy Ghost. It can't be done. It's with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, because that word has got to be dealt with by a Holy Ghost preacher or by Holy Ghost people.
Amen.
When that eunuch was there going back to Ethiopia, wherever he was going, God did not send some hanky-panky individual with a bachelor's degree. He sent down a simple old guy with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven.
Amen.
And when the Word of God came up, the Spirit of God convicted that man. Because here's water. No man even said water. He said, here's water. What's going to hit him even baptized? See? We're getting the picture right here. Nothing any other way. Now, as I said, it is John 1:18. Because no man has seen the Father. The only begotten has exegeted him to declare him. The Holy Spirit himself can do it. Because of Revelation 1 and 10. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. And I turned to see the voice to speak with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, clothed the garment down to his foot, and the girdle about it, perhaps with the golden girdle. Now, if anybody's going to get a glimpse of bride and be in the bride, it's got to be through the voice of Christ in the bride.
Amen.
Christ himself revealed every single time. And it's Christ doing his own revealing. That is why you must be baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's right in the Greek words. I wish I'd have brought my notes with me. But in there, there's one word absolutely signifies that the Word brings you to God. That by the Word, the Holy Spirit brings you to God. And once you're baptized with the Holy Ghost, absolutely the Holy Spirit Word reveals God. Now, notice Revelation 1, 2 to 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave unto him. Now, we're talking about the same thing back there in Luke. Revealing out, showing, pulling back the curtain, Apocalypse, whatever it is. To unto his servant things were shortly going to pass, and sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy, this book, the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now, this is almost word for word of 1 John 1:1-7. Let's go back and take a look at it. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have handled with our hands, have handled it, of the word of life. And for the life was manifested, and we saw it. This was not done in a corner. God publicly does what he does.
Amen.
See? And bear with us. And show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. See, we're right in line with Zechariah. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ, and these things have been written unto you, that your joy might be full. That's what he said over here. The revelation of the things must shortly come to pass, and bear record, and blessed is that one that takes the record. So therefore the one that takes the record, see, in God's ordained way is no, not one whit less or behind the chiefest of Almighty God's men and the greatest men. That's why that they who believe are a pillar in the church of Almighty God, and a pillar is part of the foundation, which is the apostles and prophets.
Amen.
In other words, there's either male or female, bond or free, or anybody in Christ Jesus. Amen. They all come one way through the revelatory power of the Holy Ghost, revealing Christ to them. By the word of the living God, the Holy Spirit doing it, God himself, his own light, revealing himself, and they see in the light. See? Come into the rebirth. Now, this is an exact case of Alpha and Omega. 1 and Revelation 1, 2 and 3 again. Who bear record of the word of God, the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. And verse 17, when I saw him, the fellow dead, and he laid his hands upon me, saying, fear not, I am first and last. Now, I'm going to jump over to Revelation chapter 8, 22. Beginning at verse 8. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard them and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the messenger, showed me these things. And he said, see, thou do it not. I'm the fellow servant of the brethren, the prophets, and of them that keeps the saying of this book, worship God. And he said, and he seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust is unjust still. He's filthy, filthy still. Righteous, righteous still. And holy, holy still. The holy come quickly. And my reward is with me to give unto every man according to where should be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. Blessed are they that wash their garments, or wash their robes. Doesn't do these commandments, but wash their robes, that they may have the right to the tree of life. He's talking right here about a people who will not taste death. But what was missed in the Garden of Eden, so I put a flaming cherubim there, lest in their present condition they go over there and eat that tree and live forever. In other words, they partake of a word that's way down the road that's not their due. See? Alpha and Omega. Now, Israel couldn't partake. That's why they were blinded. See? Their glory comes at the end. Now it says right here, I am Alpha and Omega. And he's speaking to a Gentile church that's ending off. And so therefore, there will have to be at the end time a complete manifestation done before the eyes of the people of a God who reveals himself, that you can't make a mistake. You do what you want with it, but he's, I'm Alpha and Omega. And I took you right from the first part to the last part. And he said at that time, when that revelation is there, he said when that revelation is there, you will absolutely be changed standing upon this earth, and you'll go up in a rapture. And you're a part of the new Jerusalem, the holy city, and everything else outside there is just, well, he mentions sorcerers and dogs and those that love and make a lie and murderers and so on. He said, I, Jesus, now listen, I, Jesus, sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Now here it is, God himself is saying it. The Spirit of God putting his seal upon it. See, I sent a messenger. There was a messenger in the first day. There's a messenger in the last day. Because he's Alpha and Omega. Now, there's much could be said there, but I don't have the time on it. It would just take much, much too long. Now, from these scriptures we see, there was an unveiling of God which the Gentiles would receive at that time, and there shall be another unveiling at the end time. Because there is. If he's Alpha, is Omega, then what he was, he's going to have to be, and he was absolutely eyewitness and handled, as it were, through human flesh. There was a prophet who was able to point him out, and then when the pointing out was done, he himself would reveal himself. And it's not through a physical subject, it's through exegesis, which is the revealed word of Almighty God. Because that's exactly what the scripture teaches us. Now, for proof, for a little further proof, we go back again to Luke 1:78-79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness, the shadow of death, and a guide to the way of peace. Now, let's go back and find in Zechariah something more about this. Zechariah 3. And in verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. He was a branch back there. It's the same branch, but it's a different time. This is not the birth of Jesus. Now listen. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall be seven eyes. That's Jesus in the revelation to the Gentile church through seven church ages. Now, behold, I'll engrave the engravings thereof, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will remove the iniquity of that rock land in one day. Now, he said, at that time, the iniquity of the land gets removed, which is Israel. So, before Israel becomes a nation, again, the branch appears. Amen. See? In that day, saith the Lord of hosts, every man, shall he call every man his neighbor under the vine, under the fig tree. That's the millennium. Just before the millennium, just before Christ comes back and shows himself to be the glory of Israel, he reveals himself as the branch. See? Now let's keep reading. The angel talked with me, came again, and walked as a man that wakened out of his sleep. Awake thou the sleep and arise amongst the dead, and Christ will give thee light. Remember, we are not dead, and Israel's not dead, but in sin and asleep. He said, what seest thou? And I said, I've looked and behold a cassock all of gold. There you are, seven church ages. Now right back to Israel. I mean, to the Gentiles, with a bowl on top, and seven lamps thereon, seven pipes of seven lamps, and there on the top, and two olive trees by it, one on the right side, and the other on the left side. And answered, and spake the angel, and said to me, what are these, my Lord? And the angel, the talk said, knowest thou not
what these be? And I said, no. Then he said, and he's speaking, he's saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit of the Lord. O, who art thou, O great mountain? You're right back to a mountain going down again. But before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone, capstone, not the cornerstone.
Amen. Amen.
See? Crying, grace, grace. No, you let your minds go, and you'll see some things in a hurry on that one today if I weave them in here. That goes in my notes further, but let me just let you be wise unto it, that what you're seeing right here, brother, sister, is in the book of Joel, the second chapter. This lines with Joel. We'll show you that later on. I'm not going to touch it right now. All right, now listen. You will notice, I am Alpha and Omega. And in here we see a turning away from the Jews. And God bringing the Gentiles to him in order to save the Gentile bride, the election which lay out there in Abraham. And we're Abraham's seed, of course, by the fact that, proven by the fact that we're born again. Now, in between the Alpha and Omega, see, when God gave, showed his glory, they turned it down. To the time he shows his glory, they take it. There will be a history of what the Redeemer has been doing in the Gentile church. He reveals himself through the ages. And there is also a prophecy that will bring Israel to her glory. And we saw that in Luke 2:30-32. Now we understand what we're saying. In here, that God himself reveals himself to the Gentiles. The Gentile church is built upon revelation. Israel had to have signs and wonders and manifestation and kings and politics, everything else. They said, away with him. They couldn't take the revelation, but God is still their glory. He said, Israel's not forsaken.
Amen.
All Israel shall be saved.
Amen.
Don't you tell me they won't. They're under the fifth seal.
Amen.
Now, in the meantime, there's revelation. See? To the Gentile church. So we have been living for seven church ages in the history of the Gentile church. Now then, the Alpha must become the Omega, which is identical. Coming in power. That's when they get scared to death, when they see his power and glory. And he said, I'm your power. I'm your glory. Okay. It's all right. You put those wounds there. He said, you don't have to worry. It had to be for the Gentile church. See? Typing out in Joseph. I kind of hope you're getting the picture here. Now, be careful to notice again in Revelation. We want to go back to the first chapter again. Just keep your thoughts about what I showed you in the beginning. How Revelation works. What it's all about. Then remember the next step. I gave you a thesis, and showing by Scripture, that it's got to be again. There is a revelation at the end time which is mighty to the Gentiles just before the rapture. Now, Revelation chapter 1. And I'm trying to show that to you. The third verse, he that blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep these things which written in them, hear Aaron, for the time is at hand. What things are those? The revelation that God gave and signified through to John. And the 11th verse saying, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and last, and what you see write in the book, and send that to the seven church ages. Now, John was to write what he saw. And he wrote what he saw in order that we might see what he saw. Okay. Let's just find out if we can see it. I'm not going to be tricked with Scripture. I'm going to be the Scripture plump and plain the way they're written. We're going to go to 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter. Really should have a big blackboard up there and just take one thing at a time until it all becomes clear to you. I've labored in this for so long, it's clear to me, but might not be clear to you. But now listen, when 1 Samuel 3, 10 to 15, then 3 and 21, I'm going to show you that we have the same vision John had without being there and seeing it.
Right.
Now watch. In the 3rd chapter, 10 to 15, and the Lord came and stood and called at other times, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel answered, ye speak, for thy servant heareth. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, in which both the ears of every one that hears of it shall tingle. And that day I'll perform against Eli all the things I've spoken concerning his house, and when I begin, I shall make an end of it. That's right. You watch. When God does a thing, he does it. That's what it says in the book of Revelation, chapter 10. When he lifted his hand and swore, it's over. He meant it. The thing's going to run out. Now listen. Therefore have I sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. There comes a day when the offering ceases. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. Well, he didn't see a thing, he heard. So therefore, when you hear from God, you see. When God tells you what's what, you are part of the vision. And that's exactly what John said. You see what I see. You become a part of the vision. You become a part of the revelation. And when you know you're a part of the revelation, you're a part of Him. Which is the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now listen, verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. If He had appeared again, He had to appear once. Now listen, here's the explanation. For the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. In other words, God came into full view as He spoke to Samuel. That's exactly what John 1:18 is. That's what we said Revelation 1, 12 to 20 is. Right down the line, we're showing you the same thing, that this light is the Holy Spirit Himself showing the Scripture to the individual. God Himself revealing Himself. God Himself interpreting Himself. God's His own interpreter. See? Now, at a juncture, of course, He has a problem. Now, if we understand this revelation, we see Jesus. Plain English. If you understand this revelation, says John, if you see it, you see Jesus. You are handling just like I handle. It's the same old story. Like, this fellow's name used to be in North Carolina, it doesn't matter, doctor somebody, young Baptist, doctor, preacher, a tremendous servant of God, lying, dying of cancer, completely emaciated upon his bed. And he said, oh God, he said, I know when you were on earth, you used to heal. And Lord, if you were in Jerusalem and I could be there now, I know you'd heal me. And a voice said, if I were in Jerusalem and you were there, you could not get to me, but I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the power of God went through his body until the bed springs were hot to human touch. And he rose out of the bed 100% whole. That's brother, sister, not what you think is what the Bible says. It's exactly what it says here. If we understand this revelation, we see Jesus. He is revealed before our eyes. Now don't argue with me, just believe the Bible. That's what happened in Samuel. Samuel, here I am, Lord, speak. He said, you tell that fellow, I'm going to tell you. They said, Samuel just didn't want to go and tell what he saw. Well, you say, well, Samuel should have gone and told what he heard. You see, the Bible makes mistakes. You know, a bunch of ignorant people wrote the Bible. No, a bunch of, I don't say it, they're sitting in the congregation. Not this one, thank God. Unless you're here just wondering. Only believe, brother, sister, strange things happen. It's exactly as it says in John 1:18, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten who is in the bosom of the Father hath exegeted him, or made him absolutely clear by words, so that when that picture was done, they saw him as he is, and I'm going to show you that in just a second. Now, let's see how correct this is for the end time. I've been preaching there's an end time, a mega, as there was a beginning. Now remember, Paul said, I revealed it. John says, this is the revelation, showing it through seven church ages, right? And you see him through seeing the Word. Okay, I'm not going to argue with you, and as I'm not going to lie to you, I'm going to take you right to the Bible now, and we're going to see the book of Colossians, the third chapter and verse 4. And here's what it says. And we're talking about this revelation, this appearing. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. In other words, Christ will appear and we will enter into glory with him. That's the rapture, the wedding supper. All right? No doubt there. This word appear is based upon the root word to appear as found in Mark 16 and Luke 24 and 30. So we're going to go to Mark 16 and in verse 9 it says, when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast seven devils. Then we go to Matthew 24 and 30, and we read another verse. And it says, then shall the sign appear, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and the tribes of the earth shall mourn. Now, this word should be translated manifested, not appear. Because manifested literally means more than just something to appear and come into view. For a person may appear in a false disguise, or without a disclosure of what he truly is. But to be manifested is to be revealed in one's true character of what he really is. Big difference, isn't it?
Amen.
Says at the time that you're going to make the rapture, brother, sister, Jesus must actually reveal his true identity, come amongst us, and really show who he is. Now, I didn't write the book, so don't look at me. I got nothing to do with this book. You think I could have concocted this? Well, it would be nice if you think so. Very sweet of you. Thank you for the compliment. But you're messed up more than I am, honey. Well, I just need God. You need a psychiatrist to go with yours almost.
Because black is black and white is white, and there's something wrong with their heads. But that's what the word means. I didn't write it. I've got the Greek authorities behind me on it. I don't know Greek from Dutch or anything else. Listen, it's the same verse over here in John 3, 2 and 1, 1 John, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, thoroughly identified specifically as exactly who and what he is according to his true character. That's what's going to bring about our change. It's going to turn us from human to immortal and be taken off this earth. And it says that is when we see him as he is, we are going to be just exactly like him. We go to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, and verse 5, and we see the identical same word. Again, I'm going to use all these words right through the Bible. There's just a few of them. And it says, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest. He'll let everybody know whether you did that thing as a hypocrite or whether you're really true in doing it, whether you did something nice to beat the widow and then make an excuse. He'll let everybody know exactly what was behind what you and I did. Every deed will come out there, brother, sister. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Let's not kid ourselves. Let's just go a little further and condemn ourselves, if you like, so you get lined up with God. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and verses 10 to 11. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things that done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad, knowing therefore the terrible to be persuade men, and if we are also made manifest unto God, and I trust made manifest to your conscience. Paul, standing there as a true witness of God with no guile, no deceit, was telling the people the truth, and he says, I'm going to tell you people, if you think I'm a hypocrite, and you think you can be a hypocrite, you wait till you stand before God. It'll be unveiled exactly who and what you are. There'll be no place to hide. Your character will soon come out. Don't worry. Yes, sir. And the same thing in 7th chapter, I believe it is, and the 12th verse. Therefore, I run unto you, I did not this for his cause that had done this wrong, nor for his that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might be made manifest unto you exactly what my care was. In other words, Paul was never a hypocrite. He was always anxious to be tested and tried before the people to show that he was as real can be, that his true character would come out. The 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians and the 13th verse, but all things are that are reproved are made manifest by the light. Yes, sir. You stand in the presence of Christ, you sure put your hands behind your back. Yeah. If in the true character, and in 1 Peter 5 and 4, so we go back to the back of the Bible. Now, these are all the verses that deal with that word. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. In other words, when he comes and exposes himself exactly in who and what and how and where he is, in his true character. In other words, there has got to come a day just before the resurrection and the rapture when God himself must appear amongst us and declare and show unto us exactly his true character. Now you'll know whether there's three gods or one God cut into three or vice versa. Well, it's been the same one God all the time, and no Trinitarian hogwash that condemns a man's soul to hell because of idolatry. Oh, come on. Let's get down to brass tacks here, brother, sister. Tell me there were three gods when Jesus said there's one God, and the devil's no full well and tremble. And they didn't turn his back and say, well, I got something to tell you boys on the side. There's really three of us. Ha, ha, ha. I'm just fooling you, birds. Oh, come on. Some simple-minded God. No, brother, sister, I'll never stand the judgment on that one. 1 John 2 and 28, it says right here, and now little children abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed of his coming. And that's for this hour here, I'm asking you, what God do you worship? There's three of them, you know, according to Trinitarians, which anybody knows by studying history is a Roman Catholic dogma. Amen. Never was preached until the Roman Catholics brought it on earth here. One God, and his name is Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, you talk about shame when he's manifested. He's already appeared in his true color. I hate to wait for the judgment day, but it will be there. Now, 1 John 3 and 2, which I read to you, and then over here, Revelation chapter 3 and 18. Let's take another look at it.
And it says, I count thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich in white raiment, you may be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. In other words, there is this hour of Laodicea when Jesus Christ is going to let the whole world know, the religious church world know, exactly who and what they are. Yes, sir. And that appearing is before the rapture when he reveals himself, which is revealed word. Then those who are left behind are going to say, hey, wasn't this supposed to take place? Wasn't that supposed to happen? The same people screaming, millions now living will never die, when the Bible said the whole world is going to hell. You show me one place where the whole world can go to heaven at the same time the whole world is going to hell. I want you to walk north and south at the same time. I want you to go up and down at the same time. You can't do it. So how are you going to pervert Scripture? When you tell me that God hasn't done something or obligated to do something this age, read your Bible again, brother, sister. The true character of God is destined. The true plan of God, the true way of God is destined to reveal itself at this time, and God himself will do it. Certainly it'll take some, certainly it'll take a man. He was John the Baptist. Who's he going to use this day? There's no doubt about it's got to be Elijah. Let's go to Hebrews, the 9th chapter, and verse 26. There again, we're going to see the very same word. For then must ye often suffer in the foundation of the world, but now, once at the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice himself. Was that completely manifested? Was that brought into complete view? It certainly was done. Now, verse 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. There he hung upon Calvary's cross, the veil of the temple was rent in twain, and there they saw the mercy seat revealed. There was one upon Calvary's cross, it was the mercy seat, bringing men and women back to God. And at the end time, it's the same thing, he stands once more revealed, which is the Word. They crucified the Word the second time. But it says, those that see him, he appears them. It's no longer a sin question, it's all over. It's redemption question. Hallelujah. When every promise of God is brought forth into manifestation, yes, sir, this line, and to see this lines up, of course, in 1 Corinthians 15, 15 and 5, 6, and 7, and he was seen at Cephas, the end of the trial, after that seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain of this present, but some are fallen asleep, and that after he was seen to James of all the apostles, and last he was seen to me also as one born out of due season, round the least of the apostles, and I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. Now, even as he appeared then, not in a physical form, he appears once more at the end time. Now, we want to be real careful here to see what we're studying. It is that the Word promises us at the end time, there is to come a disclosure, a definite or a definitive revelation of who and what Christ truly is. Now, remember, we've already had one. And we see that promise was given us, as I read them to you, in Colossians 3 and 4, 1 Peter 5 and 4, John 1, 2, 28, and John 3 and 2. And since Revelation 1 and 8, the Alpha and Omega, and Hebrews 13 and 8 hold true, there will have to be a complete, perfect parallel of the two. Now, and that parallel is Alpha of John 1, 31 to 34, and also John 21, 1 and 14. So let's go back again. Now, if he's Alpha's Omega, it's got to be a perfect parallel. He's got to do what he once done. He's always got to keep doing it. There's no way he can change. Otherwise, he's a great change, and you wouldn't know what's going to go on. All right, John 1, 34, 31, 33, 34. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said upon me, when thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he that baptized with the Holy Ghost. So therefore, at the end time, we would be in the same boat. How are we going to know him? How are we going to know him who is the Word? Because we're going to see him through the Word, exegesis, to make perfectly plain definitive. Remember, God has boundaries, the same as anybody else. God can be defined in a way, because he made himself that way. How are we going to know, except there be somebody there to help us? And I saw in their record that this is the Son of God. In other words, there is somebody destined in Scripture who is also laid out here, who will be the one who takes the lead and helps us, which indeed he will. Let's go to John 21 for just a second. In verse 1 and 14. Now, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed himself. Now, he tells what he did. And how he showed himself was by causing the disciples to cast the net on the right side of the ship, doing in his resurrection what he'd done amongst them when he was on earth. He did the same thing. He showed himself not by his physical presence, because though they saw him, they couldn't recognize him. But they recognized him by what he did. Because what he does is always the same. Then in the 21st verse, I see John 21:14. Now this is the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was risen from the dead. In other words, we find in Scripture that it is not impossible for Christ to reveal himself, though he does not show himself to be what he is in the physical form, but that form is here. They know by the very fact of how he did things. Now, with this principle established, we ask, when will it happen? When will the Omega happen? When is he going to do this again? Well, we know what he's going to do it again. John 1:3-2, beloved, now are we the sons of God? And it hath not yet appeared as well he shall be. We know that he shall appear. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. In other words, when Christ manifests himself as to his true character, so that we know that he is the true and the living God, then that is the time the bride is going to go away. And listen, let's face it, that's exactly what Elijah did in the days of Ahab. When idolatry had crept into true religion or spiritual worship of Jehovah. See? Now the same thing of James. Now, we are at a time when we are going to be changed in just like him. So let's go to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. 20-21. And it says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, and that it may be fashioned like unto his own glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. That's what the Scripture says. We are going to get our bodies changed. And we are looking for our Savior. And we found in Scripture that that one is responsible for changing us as we see him completely revealed. And we seeing him are also revealed. The same thing is found in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Verses 51. Behold, I show you mystery. We're not all going to speak. We're all going to get changed in a moment. Speaking at the last trump. And there is your significance right there. The change is dependent upon the last trump. And that last trump is not the last trump in the sixth seal. It's the last trump of the church age messenger, because the Corinthian church is not under the sixth seal. That's the Jews. We are under the first 4 seals. It's to the Gentiles. And it is responsible for that trumpet. And that's exactly the trumpet is in the days of the seventh messenger, and he shall begin to sound. The mystery of God should be completed. And one of those mysteries is the change of the body. So therefore, during the ministry of the seventh church age messenger, we are going to get our change. Then we have 1 Thessalonians 4. This goes further in it. 13-17. But I would not have you any brethren concerning them which are asleep, that you soar not as others have no hope. Now what's he doing? He, as I showed you before in one message a year or two ago, that this is speaking to two groups of people. It's really to one group of people concerning the two groups. And he's talking about the people now living in relationship to those that are dead. What does he say about it? If we living here believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which are dead or sleep in Jesus will God bring forth with him. For this I say by the word of the Lord unto you, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. That's the relationship. Christ himself will be amidst his people revealing himself before one single dead person gets on this scene. See? Sets himself at the head of the church to raise the dead. And we're all one great big bunch of people. That same Holy Spirit now just picks the whole thing up and lifts it right up. Like in Matthew 17, when he takes James and Peter and John apart and brings a high mountain, that word in the Greek means to unfold in his arms and just rise up against gravity.
Right.
You see? Now we got the picture there. Now this is based upon 1 Corinthians 15:49-52, which we read. See? How the change is going to come. Now shows that the change comes in the time slot of the rapture. Every single verse concerning the time when Jesus Christ appears and shows himself, reveals himself, is in the time slot of the resurrection rapture. Now let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 again. The Lord himself is in the church with the voice of the archangel, trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. That's exactly true. Now with that, we're going to read once more what we read already in Philippians, the 3rd chapter. And it says here in the 20:21, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, because our citizenship is there. We're in heavenly places. who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. And it says right here that part of that revelation is when he literally subdues our bodies so that they don't die but are changed and become immortal.
Amen.
In other words, there's an absolute subjection to Christ, and there is no more a subjection to the inner man, to the natures, or anything else. It is what God is doing. And that's the same thing as we showed you over here in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and in verse 52, which I read. In a moment, speaking tonight, the last trump, we are all going to be changed to be like him. And we can see that this revelation of Jesus Christ must be exactly what is spoken of by James. Now, we were placing it. In every scripture we see that Christ literally appears amongst them in order that they get their change. And he appears in such a way that it is so definitive that they realize who he is and his true character. Once and for all, the true God is revealed as he was once revealed, and has from that time never since be revealed. It's got to come in that time slot. Now, we're not going to draw comparisons. We're just showing you the Bible speaks of this same thing, the same time slot, the same thing in different words, in order to cause us to understand exactly what it's all about. Okay, let's go to James, the 5th chapter. Now, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming Lord. That's verse 7. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and the latter rain. Be you also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And it tells you right here that that coming, that appearing, can only take place at the time that he is allowed to bring the former and the latter rain to the people. And the former and latter rain is going to bring about a resurrection, which in turn the people standing here are going to be changed. Then in turn they're all caught up. Now the question comes up, what in the world is that former and that latter rain? See? That's the question. And the question, of course, is very easily answered because we go to Joel, the second chapter. Now, in verse 21 it says, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Now he's talking about the land. In Romans, the 8th chapter, it absolutely says creation is under subjection, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Man must be changed back to that original creation. He's got to come into the resurrection to take over the millennium, and then the land can rejoice. The land is going to be healed. Everything is going to be good, and we can come down and take it. So therefore, he is speaking here concerning the millennium and restoration of the land. Then he says, be not afraid, beasts of the field, because they've been beat out of everything. Animals don't have a place to go anymore. Whole nature is a mess because of what man's done. The pasture of the wilderness bring, the fruit tree bring forth their fruit, the fig tree and the vine yield their strength. Now then, he said, now, be glad, you children of Zion. You that are getting ready for the rapture, because Zion is the holy city, New Jerusalem. Now you that make it up, he said, you start getting happy. So now everything is getting happy because something has happened that makes us know redemption total is here. No, he's getting happy before. That's a lot of hogwash. See? Now, for he had rejoiced now. You shall know that. And rejoice in the Lord your God. Now notice, it's rejoice in the Lord your God. In other words, God himself has done something that's going to make you really rejoice.
Hallelujah.
For he has given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down the rain, the former rain and the latter in the first. It's not much, it's as in the first. In other words, there's going to be a repeat. God is going to bring his word again. And when he brings his word, it's rejoicing in him because the word Latin, former rain, is more at which a teacher or teaching. So therefore, God himself is his own life revealing himself. The teacher is his own life teaching himself. Now, right there, that's going to take a prophet again. Now, here's where people shake their minds and they said, oh my goodness me. If that's the truth, then God's going to come and tell me something. No, he's only going to tell you the way he ordained it. In every church age, he says, thus saith the Alpha and the Omega, so on, to the messenger of this age. And then at the bottom, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But you notice, he says to the man, then he says, let them hear what the Spirit says. But the Spirit's only speaking to one man. So in every single age, there's a messenger who takes the word of God for that hour. And in Revelation 10 and 7, there's an end-time church age messenger that's got to bring us this word. But it's not his word.
It's the word of Jesus Christ. It's God revealing himself. God revealing himself out to the people, which in turn is destined to bring about the great works of Almighty God. Now, I showed you this morning, and ever since I've been here, I've been literally harping on Ephesians 1. Now, look, I know I'm going too fast for about 99% of you, but I'm not going to apologize. It's on a tape, I hope. And you can get all the scripture and go cross, crisscross it back and forth. It won't hurt me one little bit. You just go back and see if it's not so, because I've done it. Not over 1 month, but over years. And Paul praying to a people full of the Holy Ghost in the Ephesian church hopes that they might be part of the grand climax, that they'll be caught and meet the Lord. And he said, I'm praying that God's own spirit will come amongst you and give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, which in turn will bring about a resurrection, which in turn will bring about a rapture, which in turn will put you in the millennium with everything under your feet. You see? It's destined. It is destined. It's a predestinated to you and me, brother, sister, that we are going to have a complete true revelation of Jesus Christ by the Word given to the church, where unmistakably we know him who is the Word. And it won't be three gods, kind of one God cutting the three parts either. This is also 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 9 to 11. Oh my, they've gone through gifts. And remember, Pentecost, you've got to go through the Pentecostal church age to get to this end time. Wesley Luther, Pentecost, and now this. And old Paul speaking over here, he said, well, look at you folks. He said, you got so messed up on signs and wonders and everything else that don't belong to you in Revelation. Does you put the Revelation aside and you go by the Word? What about Pentecost means? You get up there and the poor preacher wants to preach the review Word of God on anointing, and Brother Branham will do that, and some woman get up and begin screaming in tongues, and people listen to her. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? No, it's not great! Get a revelation, a pit of hell talking in tongues too, because who first of all discerned whether that woman had the Holy Ghost or just the devil doing it? You say, how can that be? I'll tell you how it is. I never knew Dr. Cliff, but I had his records. That's a British man, British PhD in science that came to Canada in Montreal, and he was head of the best foods up there, which I guess is the same as the Beatrice Company here and all that kind of stuff. And the guy that made the chiffon pie that everybody likes, you know, of the gelatin. All right, he was a linguist, a seven language, turned his heart to God, went to a man's mission in Montreal, Canada, and there as a linguist, heard 7-5 languages spoken perfectly, and three were cursing God horribly. Now, where's your tongues? You all scream, hallelujah, glory to God, and some misfit interpreting. Some vile screaming and ranting and filthy pornographic language and saying, as thus saith the Lord, my little children, you're walking in the light and he is wonderful. And this voice was cursing and hurling insults and epithets at the Most High God. Paul the Apostle said, it doesn't work that way. But there's got to be a Pentecostal age. Then he talks about love. He says, just stick with it. Just roll with it. Don't fuss about it. Just keep moving. Just keep watching. Just keep praying. Just keep hoping. Because love never fails. But whether they're prophecies, they're going to fail. And tongues, they're going to cease. And knowledge vanish away. And he says, we know in part, we prophesy in part. But he said, there's something coming which is perfect. And that word perfect needs to finish off and conclude the whole thing. And it wasn't tongues because they didn't do it. And it wasn't prophecy didn't do it. That was only a part of the whole thing. See? When I was a child, I spake as a child, and said as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. What you talking about? But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. In other words, God himself will come on the scene in a face-to-face revelation. Amen. Which is revealed word. Which cannot be gainsaid, though they'll try to gainsaid. It can't be done. Now, we know where the prophet came from, Deuteronomy 18, but we don't have time for that. Now, so here, just at the end time, there will be no doubt that just before the rapture, Christ's eternal spirit reveals himself, manifests, visits himself, proves himself, identifying himself in his true character, as we have seen in John 1:18. And what's the clue? I'm going to tell you the clue. Jesus stood before those folks back there in John 15 and 24, and he said, if I had not done the works that no other man did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. And William Branham stood before a congregation. I thought myself, and he said, I challenge you, bring me 24 of your worst cases. I guarantee healing to all. I challenge the world of 4 billion people to stand before me and all together give that statement. Well, but the Pentecostals wouldn't bite. No, they wouldn't do that. We go down, I think, to Brownville, Texas. There he says, I challenge you. Bring me your worst case. Go ahead and get it. Challenge you. Bring me that worst case. God will heal it. So they brought a little Mexican girl. And best I can understand, her limbs were so thin and so interwound she looked like a dish of cold cooked spaghetti. Okay, he said, just put her here. Took the tiny tawny knees to start singing choruses. Wasn't long that she jumped off his knee and ran down the aisle with flesh on her bones perfectly whole. I challenge you. 4 billion people can't do that. There's a God in heaven today. And as Jesus Christ proved that that was God by manifestation, because you see God when you see the works of God, that's all you see. So in our day there was a man so anointed that you could not turn away and not understand that was God.
Amen.
And if it was God, why don't you listen?
Amen.
See? There was a John the Baptist who pointed and said, that's the one there that takes away the sin of the world. There had to be someone come and point and say, there's the real one. I'm going to identify him for you. In the true character. Night after night, that man stood on the platform. I was his friend with him many times. And come in that building, the end of the service, having preached Christ, he said, now that the word is preached, he said, we'll ask him to come. We don't know if he will. Never did presume. And he'd say, he's here. And then say, he's here. Now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the glory of God, I take every spirit in this building under my control. And he could do it. No, you couldn't hide if you tried. 10,000, 50,000, nobody could hide. Oh, they could still act up. Oh, yeah. They could still crucify the lovely one. He was still that one. They could still act up and sneer. And then he would say, now if he's risen the dead, needs the same method in forever, he will do what he did when he was here upon earth and take it clean from Genesis right through. You show me a man can do that. They couldn't do it. See? Jesus identified himself as that one with whom God was dealing and revealing that Father. If I had not done the works nor the man did, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. And you say they couldn't hate him, but they did hate him. They say, well, Brother Bale, if he was here today, we wouldn't hate him. That's a lie in the pit of hell. Just like he turned on them and said, you are your father, the devil, and the works your father you do. He said, if you were Abraham's seed, you'd know me because Abraham spoke of me. Oh, yeah, you say this is going to be some great thing that's going to turn the world to God. I say you missed the point entirely. It's Christ coming for a small bride that she may know her mate to see him as he is and his true character and say, that's the one that I love. And become a part of the revelation. Absolutely. Yes, sir, now, I want to point out something else. The revelation of Jesus Christ which began to take shape unto this hour started back under Luther when they saw Jesus unveiled as our justification. Under Wesley, as our complete and great sanctifier. Then we saw him clear still in Pentecostal power when the gifts were manifested. Our God is a great power, one to be reckoned with. But in our day, we saw him perfectly clear in Revelation 10 and 7 when all the mysteries were revealed, and the mysteries are the revealed word of God sent down from heaven, and Christ is the mystery of God revealed. No need to wonder who he is. We know exactly who he is. It was shown to us. So today the Holy Spirit has become flesh by the Word.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, Brother Sister, my flesh, and there is no man's flesh except Word can portray what a man is. I've often said, and I'll say it again, you can take it any way you want. I'm just making this little lie up. It's a lie, plain and simple. I knew Brother Branham, and I could come to you folk as a liar, and I could say, well, I saw something in this great man that I knew if I could just hook onto his coattails, make me somebody big with him and make me money, everything else. And I just really didn't have any use for Mr. Branham, but I'll tell you, it was a money deal. And you say, for the first time I see Lee Bale exactly as he is, it would take my word to do it. So only the word of God can make you know exactly who and what God is. Then why do you look for something else?
Amen.
The Gentile brother, sister, does not look for signs and wonders. It's revelation. The Gentiles get the revelation. The Jews get the power. And even that they turn down. So Christ will one day come and force them into through a tube. We are not forced through a tube. The light shines on the screen. The screen lights up. Walks on into glory. Changed to his image. Oh, what a difference, my brother says. Yes, sir. Now, he appears at the end time. Now listen. We have had the word of God revealing the Son of Man. Revealing Christ himself. Christ himself showed who it was by his own ministry. For as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The very same ministry of Christ returned to this earth. And as there was a prophet back in Noah's day, and in the days of Sodom, God was his own prophet. So we found the pillar of fire came down. He was even photographed, seen by thousands of people. The reflection, that is. So we know we are in the very presence of God revealing himself. And of course, God must use a prophet. He cannot use himself physically. He is not here. When it comes to the spirit, it is always with the body of a man, even as it was with John. Then to receive what the prophet said is to be a part of the prophet, a part of the revelation, a part of the entire scheme. One becomes a part of that entire scheme. He said, I know I'm born again. Not speaking in tongues, not sensation, not demonstration,
amen,
not feelings,
amen,
but a knowledge.
Amen.
I'm identifying.
Amen.
Yes, sir, identify. Now, that's the first step of believing the word. We go into a spiral. The next spiral coming, which is deeper, is the resurrection. And in the resurrection, when those dead come out of the ground and you see them, you will have absolutely resurrection faith. Don't doubt it. Don't try to get ahead of time. You're back with the Jews again. Forget the Jews. You're not a Jew. You're a Gentile. Revelation. Revelation. And revelation comes through manifestation. God performing the word he declared. He said, I'll send a prophet. I'll do so and so. He did it.
Amen.
Now he said there's a resurrection. And you'll be like Martha and Mary standing there. You get that feel of that thing. You just somehow know. Oh, if he was only here. He said, I'm here. Because he is here. He makes himself to be known. He's not just revealed word now. He is the power of God to perform that resurrection, having set himself to head of the church. We don't look to organization, popes, or creeds, or men. We look to this revealed word, which is Christ. See? Now, in that simplicity, setting himself there to raise the dead, he raises. Oh, it's going to be a great feeling, brother, sister, when those dead are raised. It's going to be a deeper sweep and a spiral. Then what's it going to be when they're all raised? Oh, they can't wait now to get up. And they go to the wedding supper, can't wait to get down.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be down here. See, it's just like that. A pyramid, brother, sister, is nothing but a tornado inverted. You see? Now, I don't know too much about drawing on the board. I should have marked up here, Judah, but I guess I won't need it in this minute here. But look at here. That's a pyramid, right? Okay. Oh, got it this way. That's a pyramid, too, hey? That's a pyramid, and that's a tornado. Now, all is concentrated up here in the head. Is that right? Now, remember, all the power and force in this hour comes down through that head here, laying a foundation, laying a foundation, laying a foundation. But hold it! This one has gone up to here, and this age gone up to here, and this age up to here, and this age up to here. And the funny thing is, the seventh age is right down here.
That's it. That's right.
Amen. Now you get that the things begin to move very slowly. Now man in Kansas, and I read this, had a root cellar. And he saw the tornado coming, so he jumps in his root cellar, which is his little hideout. And lo and behold, the tornado whizzes over his head about just a few feet up, and he looks up. And it's all green in there with amber flashings of lightning. Amber and green, God. Power of God flashing around there. And he looked up, and he saw at the top here, he saw a cow floating around. That's a funny cow. I just got a little thing. Floating around, a house floating around, and trees floating around, and a buggy floating around, and a horse and a buggy floating around, and a fashing machine floating around, and car floating around, just lazily floating around, you know. But down here, they're a little faster, a little faster, a little faster. And here at the cone, and him down here. It was horrendous. Terrific. Terrible speed. See? Watch her in right now. Here, right in here. See? The word came. Oh, that quicker. What's it going to be? Hallelujah. How's it going to be? Whoa, if you see him as he is, you're going to be in the rapture. Now, here comes the dead out here. Faster, faster. Oh, that's the real power God demonstrated. Wherein God raised him from the dead is our power now in raising us and changing us. And then you see right here, it's greater still. Why? Because there's a catching up. And I'm right, because remember, the seventh, the first church age goes up first. Second church age up goes second, and third goes up third, and fourth up, fifth up, five up, six up, seven up. Now what we're in, we are in the world of revelation of Lord Jesus Christ. And as that revelation begins to go faster and faster, stronger and stronger, it's absolutely going to change and pull up people out of this world of God.
Amen.
Don't try to be in that pull of the resurrection, just wait for it. Even when you get there, you'll wait for your turn, the tree of life. Because in that area, I showed you up here, there is no, the pyramid that people think Brother Branham drew is not what I saw. As far as I'm concerned, he drew. There's no space up in here that you go fooling around. You've got it all right in here, that word revealed, because it's a pyramid. Everybody knows Zion's a pyramid. Everybody knows that pyramid is made by people who are the Word, the living Word of God of every age. We all know that. All in here now, see? So therefore, there is this capstone of the Word right in here. And God gave all of this revealed as he was one time as the cornerstones. Where the cornerstone is the capstone, vice versa. What it's all about, what this is all about. Now then, at the end time, perfect revelation. See it down here? Having come from here, grown up to there, what does it do? It reproduces back exactly here what it was there. The ministry of Jesus Christ here, when he was on earth, is identical to here. Even as he preached the souls in prison, the same being preached here and done. There's coming a time when no soul will come in. It's all finished all over. Now you see, brother, sister, you'd have to know that you're looking at the one true God, the real Jesus, the Redeemer, to get this. It's been promised us. It's been done all through Scripture. That's exactly true. Now, what a promise. The people no longer blinded by creeds and dogmas looking into an unveiled word by unveiled mind, see Christ perfectly revealed, looking at him for perfection has come, and he is that one. He is that word, themselves transformed to be like him, laying word upon word until God dynamizes and brings to life that word, and then it's no longer word but a life. And the flesh becomes word, and it all becomes God. Yep, all becomes God. Because the salvation is of God.
Amen.
And if you're a Savior, you're of God.
Amen.
It's all of God. So we eat his flesh, the word, and we drink it, which is meat indeed. We drink his blood, which is life indeed, or the word transfusing us, changing us, transfiguring us. It is the hour of the manifestation, not only of him, but of his own bride, because it has to be, for the scripture says, when we see him as he is, we will be like him. And he was manifested, so we will be. Now, so we must not give up, under no consideration, but we must, as we heard the word, like the bride in the songs of Solomon, go on progressing, no matter how tragic the times look, or how evil it looks. And remember, in the very hour of the resurrection, as Jesus stood with those disciples who should have known better, and he told them what had happened, it was like an idle tale. And maybe this afternoon, this whole thing's like an idle tale, but let me tell you this, you stick with it. And one day it'll all be changed to the glory of Almighty God. Let me add one thing, and I'm closing. I preached as hard and fast as I could, and I'm sorry. I don't like to do that, but that's my nature, so forget it. I gave you the scripture anyway to look over. Get it, your tape. Get a tape. Just try to follow it through. 36, and it says 25 and 26. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your idols will I cleanse you. Cleansed by what? The washing of the water. A new heart will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the old stony heart of your flesh, and I'll give you a new heart of flesh. And that's what the Word of God is doing right now, changing us, giving us understanding of all those things necessary that are at the end time in the revelation of him. I'm just going to read you something here. Brother Branham was speaking, and he said, what I said a while ago, the others didn't believe it. He upbraided them because their heart is a heart. They didn't believe these people had seen that he was not dead, he's alive. Same thing today when you see his work. Yeah, they don't believe he's here, but they saw his work. Now, not the work the charismatics are doing.
Amen.
You tell them to stand up here and say, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, and see guns down. You see them to take a challenge, bring me a worse cripple. See? Now, it can be done by faith, but not by direct challenge.
Amen.
There was only one challenge, brother, sister, God took. That was upon Mount Carmel.
Amen.
We've had a Mount Carmel showdown. See, now we just believe. Now we have already seen, they're witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, appearing and coming is two different words, to appear and then to come. Now he is appearing, he's already appeared in these last days, right here with us, in the last few years, now it's the sign of his coming. See? He's appearing in his church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing the Tim, because people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing, so that's the appearing of the Lord. Now remember, it spoke of as appearing and coming. Just before rapture, just before resurrection, it is incumbent by the word of Almighty God, incumbent upon God, that he absolutely fulfill his word and his way in the word, which is Zechariah. And Simeon saw it, he said, this is that one who is the light. He himself, the light, appearing among us, definitely showing himself, he's doing it. Let me tell you, brother, sister, this didn't come out of the Bible school. This never came out of an organization. This never came out of a theological seminary. The very proof of the fact that Christ appeared among it and his presence is here, which is the word parousia. That great student himself, which was Rotherham, and Vine says the same thing. They all say the same thing. This is something nobody can understand. The students cannot understand it. And Roger and finally said, there's only one way we're going to get it. And that's when we get it, by God himself bringing it to pass. And that's exactly true. It's exactly true. But who understood when he came? Who understood when he appeared? Just the election. Just as John the Baptist said, there's the day spring. There's that one. I'm pointing him out. So there had to stand someone like John who brought a word, as it was with Samuel, and said, I'm going to reveal him who is that one. And when he came forth, reveal word. Well, they said, we can't take that. He's one that spit on the one that spit. Isn't it strange, my brother and my sister, this afternoon if I were to offer you a pot of gold, and I say that gold is free. He said, Brother Bill, where'd you get it? Well, I'm going to tell you, I hate to tell you, but this was brought by one of the bloody pirates. He'd say, well, he's dead, ain't he? Somebody's got to use him. Yeah, I'll take that pot of gold. I don't believe one person said, now you may be a little more sanctimonious than me, because money doesn't mean much to me. I don't want popularity, and I don't want money or anything else that goes with it. I like spending money, I do, but money does not mean much to me. I just wonder if I didn't have a penny tomorrow, just quite what I'd do, but I guess I'd do it. I've done it before. But brother, sister, I don't know if there's one of us here, myself included, who wouldn't take that pot of gold by one of those bloody pirates. So, well, what is it, man? Pot of gold. You know, and very strange thing, Jesus himself manifests himself by his scripture. But it doesn't line up with the creeds and the dogmas of the organization. And that which is genuine real, they will spurn. And that which is spurious, they'll take. Because the scripture says there's somebody coming in his own name. And he came under the Lutheran, Methodist, and the great names of Pentecost, the great names of the Baptists, they took it. When a single solitary man left everybody, all organization, the whole bit, and stood there with Jesus' name, they said, forget it. But they will take the Antichrist. Amen. I didn't write the book, brother, sister. I could be just as sorry as you are that it was written in here. But I'm glad it's written here. For this sake, the elect's sake. So, there is a mighty revelation of Christ. At the end time, when that revelation comes, the spin starts at the cone of the inverted pyramid, because that's the same thing. First stage, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is on earth, right? Six stages all gone. The spin starts here to bring the whole pyramid back to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 ascending. Because you see, the first stage could have had a rapture, but the bride wasn't all in. And she's all in down here. And when she's all in, that's the time Christ is fully revealed. The dead are raised, and a bride goes. Brother, sister, Christ has appeared amongst us. Will you take a look this afternoon and identify yourself that you might be changed to go to rapture? I didn't write the book, my brother, sister. I only preach it. The Lord bless you, shall we run. Kind Heavenly Father, I've only got one little hope here, Lord, that somehow that you can take what I have tried to express so terribly, terribly rapidly, Lord, to cram into an hour and a half to three quarters what should not be really crammed in, except I have this thought in my mind that they have seen something as one might view the blueprint of the exterior of a house, not yet going into the rooms that will lie within the house and why the house is made for those rooms. I pray, Lord, they have seen something, that in seeing something their attention might be caught to begin to investigate and see how these things are in Scripture, because they are. Not because I said, because I'm not saying, Lord, anything of my own. I'm following what you did say through a man that you raised up who could stand before the world as no other man since the time of Christ has done it. I'm standing on that, Lord, and I find it coincides, not only coincides with the Word, but rather it is the Word. And therein I'm very, very happy. And I pray for these people, Lord, that they might know I'm not trying to force something upon them, because I'm not going to change their minds. I'm not going to have an altar call. I've just tried to bring out my hope and the reason of our hope in this place, who believe in like manner and standing upon that which is certainly beyond what many, many are standing upon, which is something that you yourself have done in this last hour, that you being your own light revealing yourself is a must, or it doesn't line with Scripture as you were, and you're the same yesterday, neighbor. So, Father, I pray your blessing upon the people of great illumination to be there, of great understanding, of great revelation, then of great assurance unto the very end, that they'll be caught up to be like you, for they've seen you as you are. This is our hope, Lord. Therefore, bless this people, O God, according to the word which has been brought to us, not by me, but by the vindicated prophet of the hour. And Lord, I praise your name, and we praise your name together. And unto the King eternal and more invisible, the only wise God, the all power and honor and glory through Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's sing that little chorus. We'll walk in the light, because that's exactly right. He is the light. We're going to walk in that until the stairs of heaven have been ascended. We march around the throne. Okay.